Thank you, Paul, for leading us in singing this morning. In looking at this song book that we've been singing from, one thing I noticed, and you know, I don't know why exactly it was added to this song book, but it is there. Number 934 is the Star Spangled Banner. I don't know if you noticed that. But, I'm not here to argue a reason about why it's in the songbook, but that's an important song to me as a citizen of this country. And it means a lot to me. And so I titled this lesson, Stand Up or Take a Knee. And I think there's some things to consider, including some very spiritual things about what's going on in the country and what we've been hearing about in the news. And so I want to take some time to talk about this morning. And I'm not pointing, you know, fingers at anybody for their beliefs or why they're doing certain things. But I think that people need to take a look at the meanings behind things and have a greater understanding and maybe reconsider some things. And so I asked the question, will we take a knee or take a stand? On August 14th, 2016, a football player named Colin Kaepernick took a knee during the playing of the national anthem prior to an NFL football game. And since that time, there's a movement that has developed. It now includes football players of many teams, team management, team owners. The movement's also crossed lines into other sporting events, musicians, even scientists. It's even trickled down to the high school level and beyond. And so there's a lot of things going on with this. And so as we go into this sermon this morning, hopefully we'll see some reasons why we should be concerned about this as citizens of this country. It's said that this movement is in protest against racial inequality in our nation. It's kind of a Black Lives Matter type of thing. And I've been thinking about this a lot. I hear so much about it in the media as well as sometimes in private conversations. So the thing that I've thought about in my mind is whether should we be spiritually concerned about what's going on? And the answer I came up with is yes. We're going to look at some things about this country for a few minutes, but we're going to get into some spiritual thoughts. And that's what we're here for. That's why we're here. One of the very first things that comes to my mind is how God works among nations, and He's always worked among nations. And the flag is a national symbol. It's a symbol of a nation. Our flag, although it's got 50 stars today, it didn't always have that many. It began as being used as an ensign or a standard by the U.S. Navy in the year 1777. In the year 1812, that flag flew over Fort McHenry. And to the people who were there, they were under attack by the British fleet, British Navy. It stood for their country's independence. It stood for their freedom. It stood for their country. If it came down by force, it meant defeat to them. If they took it down willingly, it meant surrender. If it stayed aloft, it represented that their country, our country, still stood and existed. Many citizens died and were wounded in that battle, fighting to make sure that that flag stood through that battle from beginning to end. And since that time, many have died and have been wounded since fighting for that flag. The lyrics of the song, The Star-Spangled Banner, were written by Francis Scott Key during the War of 1812 And that song is our national anthem. It's about our flag. A lot could be said about that, but we'll leave it at that. Brethren, we have a flag, and we have what we refer to as a free country by the providence of God. A flag represents a country, and it should be respected just as much as the country itself is respected. It should be respected. So if a flag is not being respected, and here I would ask you if taking a knee during the national anthem is showing respect for a flag or disrespect. If you are current or former military, you know, you're probably going to salute that flag during the national anthem. If you're a citizen who hasn't served in the military, you're probably going to place your hand over your heart during that song. You're going to stand. I mean, that's what we've done through the years. It's a show of respect for the flag and for our nation. So, if the flag is not respected in doing this, it may be an indicator of a much deeper problem. Brethren, God is either with us or he's not with us. In 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verses 9 and 10, this is talking about King David, a ruler of another country, of Israel, king of the Jews, a man who was well-pleasing in the sight of God, a man that we enjoy, we love reading many of the words that he wrote and looking at the things that he did in his life, the good positive things. So here in 2 Samuel 5 verses 9 through 10, so David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Millo and inward. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. He was a great leader in many battles. But we want to draw our attention to in this verse is the phrase, the Lord God of hosts, or the Lord of hosts. Do we know what that means? It means that God is the Lord of armies. That's literally what it means. The phrase "the Lord of hosts" it appears in, you know, various variations throughout the Old Testament, and that's quite simply what it means: the Lord of armies. Armies do not win battles merely on strength, or number, or equipment, but rather by the will of the Lord. And we should recognize this even today. In Isaiah chapter 31, I'd like to read verses 1 through 3 from this chapter to help us understand, you know, the mindset of sometimes a nation going into battle and the things that they trust in. And these verses put things into perspective regarding who's really in control. And when we look back at the history of Israel and some of the things they did and when they fell from the favor of God, how they failed also in battle, this helps us to truly see that there's great meaning in these verses. Beginning in verse 1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord, yet he also is wise and will bring evil, and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is holpen shall fall down, and they all shall fall together. So, if a nation, even combining the strength with it of another nation, goes into battle, and they trust only in their strength, but they leave out God, they're gonna fail. That's true back then. That's true today in a very real sense. And these verses reveal this to us so very clearly. God doesn't just take his blessings and his favor away for no reason. in the 84th Psalm. I want to read verses 11 through 12. 11 and 12 of Psalm 84. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Those words are so true. Whether we're talking about on an individual basis, or whether we're talking about on a congregational basis, or a whole nation, if we trust in the Lord, we're going to be in good shape. We need to trust in the Lord. I would sincerely ask everyone to consider how important the flag is to people who've served in the military, who've been engaged in battle. I was thinking about, because the flag is tied to the national anthem. I mean, you can't really separate the two. It's about that. And I think about that picture of those six Marines planting that flag in the ground on that mountain on the Isle of Iwo Jima. During this battle, I think it lasted about 5 weeks long, 6,800 troops were lost and 26,000 casualties. And in the face of all this, there was some importance in planting that flag, that these men were risking their lives to do that because of what it stood for. And once again, I'm not here to preach the flag, but we're looking at this from a spiritual perspective. And I think when we put all the pieces together, I think it'll be meaningful to us. I hope it will be, because the things that go on around us in the world, there's forces at work that aren't just here on this earth. There's forces of good and there's forces of evil that influence the lives of people and the things that they do, the things that they say, influencing all of us. And so I think we need to look at the bigger picture. Not only in the military does the Lord reign, the Lord reigns among those who are in law enforcement too, and in the justice system. This is so clear in Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained, the powers that be are ordained of God. Did we hear that? It says there is no power but of God. So does it mean something? The men that wear the uniform, the police officer, sheriffs, the people that serve in the justice system, the court, is there something meaningful there? They are put there by God. And I would very clearly say that our flag is a symbol that is tied to all of that. And as Christians who are citizens, I think it should mean a lot to us. I really do. I wouldn't be up here saying this if I didn't mean it. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 4, we just read verse 1. But look at what this says. Let's hear this. For he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. And so those who serve in the police, who serve under that flag, that means something to them to salute that flag, to pledge allegiance to that flag, to bring disrespect upon that it's hurtful. It's hurtful towards our attitude towards those that God has been put in power. It's a misrepresentation of the way things should be to our youth. And for all of us. The government, including law enforcement, bears a sword. They have authority. They have power. But they're also, with bearing that sword, they come against forces of evil. And they are put in harm's way. And we should be very respectful and appreciative towards them for what they stand for every single day and putting their lives in jeopardy for our sake. And I believe wholeheartedly that as Christians, we should hold them in very high regard as God's servants. When we stand for the national anthem as citizens of this country, God has blessed us with this country. We show respect for all those who put themselves in harm's way for this country and for our freedom. This includes those serving in military and in law enforcement. And I want to clearly state that nobody is perfect. And whether we're talking about those that are serving in the military or serving in law enforcement, sometimes there's people that don't do what they ought to do. Just as in all of us. And so you have situations, what happened at, you know, Fort Hood, you know, where someone is supposed to defending the country turns against it. You know, those things are unfortunate, but they're exceptions. They're not the general rule. And if we want to have protests, there's proper ways to protest. We have the ability to vote. We can speak our mind in the proper forums with free speech, but one of the things that has come to my mind, you know, we are citizens and we're also members of the community, and we go out and work. And we go into our workplace, we have responsibilities to our employers to serve them and represent them. In that area, our responsibilities to them, it's not to express our personal views. And to try to put them forth as something that's more important than anything else. And that's no different with a professional athlete or anyone else. When they go to those games, they are well paid. They are professionals. They're serving, should be serving their community as workers. And I don't think that's the right forum for that type of protest. As Christians, we should support our country in those things that belong to our country and that are not against God's will. And I very clearly state that. God is always the higher authority. And there's things that have been brought into being in this country in recent days that I'm very sad about. I don't like them, you know. You know, same-sex marriage and things like that's against God's will. I can't stand for that. None of us should stand for that. Regardless of what the government throws against us, we can't stand for that. But in those things that are good and right, we should appreciate them. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 17, there's some words that we're all very familiar with. I mean, it really had to do with taxation, but it applies to anything related to the government. Jesus said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. There's a place for everything. And there's things in government that we need to respect and not just put aside. We can't just avoid paying our taxes because we're spiritual sojourners heading toward heaven. One of the things that God wants us to do as sojourners is to be respectful to those that have power over us here in this life. That's so important. I mean, if we don't have that, we have chaos. Let's face it. To help us make proper spiritual applications as Christians, we should look to the Apostle Paul and how he understood his rights. He was a citizen of a great country at that time, much like we are citizens of a great country at this time. He was a Roman citizen. He was born a citizen of Rome, something that he mentioned more than once. But in one of the instances, in Acts chapter 21, you know, you've got a Jewish mob that I think if they had their way, they would have probably torn Paul apart. I don't think he would have made it out alive. And so anyway, he gets rescued by this chief captain of the Romans, who I think he thought that Paul was this Egyptian guy who was kind of a troublemaker. But Paul, in verse 39, he said, "I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. And I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people." So, in this particular situation, Paul called upon his citizenship for his work in preaching the gospel. And like I said, he did this more than once. I think he also did it in the situation where he was thrown in the jail there in Philippi when he was released. They wanted to just, you know, do away with him, and Paul appealed to his Roman citizenship. But that's another thing that you can look at on your own time if you want. And but I think that we need to think about our citizenship, and if the things that this country stands for, if they erode away, we may lose some of those rights of citizenship that we have. And so that's why I think it's important for us to do everything that we can to preserve them and to speak up on these things when we have opportunity and set a good example as citizens. I for one, if the national anthem is played, I'm going to put my hand over my heart, and I'm going to stand. And I would encourage others to do that as well. And I think that's a good thing for us to do as Christians. And if anyone disagrees with me on that, you know, feel free to, you know, meet with me and talk about it. I'd love to discuss it. I really would. And we're going to conclude the lesson with that thought. And I believe the song selected is number 272. If there's anyone in the audience today, this morning, who is not a Christian, well, you know, there's a citizenship that is far greater than the citizenship we have of this nation or anybody of any other nation, and that's a citizenship in heaven. If we want to have our name written in that book of life, then we need to be baptized. And we have a baptistry here. We have the opportunity. And we want to invite anyone who's subject to that invitation, who's ready, whose conscience tells them that I need to do something to be saved. And that is to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And we can help you with that this morning. If there's anyone that is a Christian, but you've sinned, brought shame upon the church and upon the name of Jesus Christ, and we also have the opportunity to pray with you and for you, at this time, won't you come as we stand and sing?